Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Tommy Tucker here at 6:15. I think the overarching suggestion today is to not drive unless you have to. You can sightsee by walking around. Look, we made it through the snow without any major power outages or any kind of disasters as far as we know. So let's not be stupid today. Go driving around, crashing in the poles and having, what is it in the baseball they call it, Tim and Charlie and there, unforced errors? Is that when you cause your own problems, an unforced error? By driving in a power pole, which Entergy spoke to us last night and said that half of the outages that were caused by people crashing in the power poles. Of course, you can't speculate from that point as to whether the trips were necessary or not. But really, and that's the preamble to our guest joining us now, who is Jacques Thibodeau, Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, or as it's otherwise known, GOSEP. Good morning, Colonel. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. How's it going today?
Well, cold, but I guess everybody is, right? And you heard me say just now about the overarching suggestion being to not drive unless you have to. You want to sightsee, walk around, and try to avoid unforced errors. That's what we're trying to avoid here. Don't shoot yourself in the foot, right?
Absolutely. And what you said, we need to thank the Louisiana residents because they listened. They listened to the message. So most of the people stayed off the roads. And so what it has done is our power outages are down to minimal numbers. When I talk about we're hovering anywhere, power outages from 5,000 to 10,000 across the entire state, all 64 parishes, that is a huge testament to people being off the roads and just staying at home and not putting themselves and first responders at risk by being on the road. So I think they got the message, and all we're asking you to do is just please heed that message for one more day. One more day, just stay at home and be safe, because the hard part is today as we try to clear all the roads.
Colonel, you know, Newell Norman and I were having a conversation last night. And I forgot who we were talking to, but it was about the perception of this. And I think it really did hit home with me. And that is, I think we are so used to these snow events where it snows, we go out, we play in it for a couple of hours, and then that night it melts, or the next day it melts, and everything's back to normal. This is not the situation this time. And I think we need to change our line of thinking when it comes to that.
Absolutely. And you think about, you know, just how significant it is. The governor in his press conference yesterday directed all state buildings to be closed, not only today, but also tomorrow, because all of those state employees are citizens with children that and he made the comment, look, stay at home. We're going to direct state employees and offices to be closed because there is still a risk. And as Jay Grimes said, the hard part starts today as we try to just thaw out and just get through this thing without anybody getting hurt or killed.
And the difference between us and a hurricane is that really few people are without power. Nobody needs ice. It's not like we're in some kind of, and I'm not saying that people aren't experiencing different hardships here or there if the heater's out. But it's a completely different thing. And again, I got to emphasize this all morning long, is just patience. Look, you guys, Colonel, did an extraordinary job. Because you know what? It's easy in your line of work to get criticized for whatever you do. I think y'all did an extraordinary job. State and local officials did an extraordinary job. The meteorologists did an outstanding job with getting us ready for this. But you know what? It was record snowfall that hadn't happened in like 130 years. The temperature is not going to get above freezing in New Orleans until noon, which means that snow is going to be there. And again, a conversation we had last night, I think, with a meteorologist was that, you know, the kids would be able to play with the snow until Friday, Thursday, rather, at least, maybe Friday, that it might still be there. So, again, we need to change our mindset from, okay, it snowed, the next day you go out and back to normal. That's not going to be the case today. And we'll take a break, come back, talk about the triage, the priorities that you guys have when it comes to trying to get people back to normal. But you're at the mercy of Mother Nature, and there's only so much you can do. We're talking to Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. I'd love to hear from you. And I'd also like to hear if you plan on being patient and just staying where you are and heeding the advice of the Colonel and everybody else who's saying, if you want to sightsee, get out and walk around. But don't drive, because I saw some idiots on Poitras yesterday driving around going far too fast. We saw somebody trying to, what's that street out here? I forgot the name of it. The street right outside of the building almost hit two cars trying to get out. No, the street in the Irish Channel. I'll figure it out. 621 traffic now, WWL. Annunciation. All right, 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A text comes in here as we continue to cover the great snow event. I work for DOTD and was heading to DOTD in Hammond. I was on 190 from LA 445. Please tell the public the roads to 445 to a meet are iced over from Highway 40 through Husser to a meet. That's a little bit garbled in transmission. Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Nice enough to spend some time with us, because I know, Colonel, it's been a tough week for you all. How do you go next? Where do you go next? The next step in terms of prioritizing and getting roads open and trying to get people back to normal?
Okay, well, first off, let me highlight a point here to kind of put it in perspective for everyone. If you are in your neighborhood and specifically in the city of New Orleans, right, and you get 5 to 12 inches of rain over a 24-hour period, think about what that does to the travel. Now, imagine if that water that is on the roads stays there not for one day, but 2 days and possibly 3 days, how dangerous that would be. That's a very similar comparison to what we're facing here. We got 5 to 12 inches of snow across the entire I-10-12 corridor that is just going to sit there and is even more dangerous now than water would be because of the ice roads and the aspects of it. So the Department of Transportation, fortunately, has a very good plan into how to maintain the roads. And we've become very much aware of how the surface streets are better to travel upon. So that's their primary focus, is looking at those surface streets, whether it's 190 or Airline Highway or whatever that may be. The Department of Transportation has what's called priority roads that they began working immediately from the western side of the state yesterday as it passed all the way through last night and into today. But still, the ice now becomes an issue because the freezing and bitter cold is out there, and the worst thing that can happen is for you to get stranded. To give a couple of examples, a couple of hunters got stranded out on the water, had to be rescued by wildlife and fisheries. Truckers were stranded and had to be rescued by state police. So you don't want to be in that position because you put your life at risk.
You know, it seems like the old Jim Mora quote, you think you know, but you don't know. And maybe we never will with this once-in-a-lifetime event. Again, Colonel, I keep going back to people's, and I'm just trying to get the message across to their old frame of reference when it snows and the next day it's over. Once again, to be clear, that is not going to be the case here.
Oh, absolutely. It's not going away anywhere today. The wind chill factors are going to make it feel like it's in the single digits, that real-time temperatures are going to be in the teens, and this is not the place to be out on the roads. It would be dangerous without the standing snow. It is catastrophic if you get out there with the snow. Please, please, please stay home.
So you would say maybe, and I'm a little bit confused on days here, today's Wednesday, maybe by tomorrow morning things start to get back to normal?
We think it will. We're hoping, based on what our climatologist Jay Grimes has told us, that we should see some warmer temperatures this afternoon. But once again, once we hit the nighttime, it will go back to cold temperatures. But we believe, based on some of our discussions, around midday tomorrow, we should see the warmer temperatures. And when we can get that sun up and get above freezing, hopefully Thursday afternoon, then we'll see some real progress. But we've got a tough 24 to 30 hours ahead of us with the freezing temperatures and the wind.
Well said. A tough 24 to 30 hours still ahead of us. Colonel, you have done a great job, as has the governor's office, everybody else involved. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Stay warm.
Thank you.
Jacques Thibodeau, Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. We come back. Seems like the Dean Martin roast. We'll talk to the man of the hour, Scott Boyle, District Engineer Administrator for the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. Talk about road closures, de-icing, snow plows, and more. When we come back right now, time for WWL First News. And if you're looking to read the room, so to speak, or read the tea leaves, I don't think Governor Jeff Landry is the kind of guy to just capriciously close state offices. He's closed them for today and tomorrow. That should tell you what you need to know. Again, if you can read the room and read between the lines and think about when we get back to normal and traveling, et cetera. Tommy Tucker back with Scott Boyle in a flash here on WWL. All right, 6:44, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We're hoping to connect with Scott Boyle, DOTD. I know he's busy, obviously, trying to get the roads open and dealing with that, so we'll try to get a couple of minutes with him. If you look at the temperatures throughout the area, 17 in New Orleans, 16 Belchase, 10 degrees in Houma, 13 in Covington and Slidell. It is actually colder right now in Slidell and Covington and Houma, and even Belchase and New Orleans than it is in Moscow, Russia, if that tells you anything. It's not going to really get above freezing until the noon hour, and then we'll only have about 5 hours above that. Then it freezes again. And I guess I don't mean to keep saying the same thing over and over again, but what we all need to remember as it relates to patients is that normally, and as we welcome in Jason Willis, Vice President of Power and Delivery for Entergy Louisiana and Entergy New Orleans. How you been, Jason, in a couple hours since we spoke?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. Hey, I've been good. I've been good.
Any major life changes, any vacations, anything you want to talk about that you took in the last couple hours?
And I think I took a little bit of a nap last night.
Exactly.
That's about it.
Right there with you. Anyway, you know, and I don't know if you and I had this conversation last night or not, but it came up where I think our minds are conditioned here in southern Louisiana when it comes to snowstorms to, okay, it snows, we get out, we play, next day sun comes out, it all melts, it's a mess, but everything's back to normal. That's not what we're dealing with here with the temperatures. And tell me about the power outages that you guys are experiencing. And so far, knock wood, everything's been pretty good, right?
Yeah, and I can still say this morning we're still happy to see overnight. We kind of hung in there. We still, I think, are less than 5,000 outages across the entire state. A bulk of those this morning are due to vegetation, a few limbs that have impacted our lines that we're working through this morning. But we are seeing, you know, which I think is a little bit different than yesterday, The icy road conditions this morning are holding us up a little bit and being able to respond. So in some cases, we're waiting for the sun to come out and maybe have a positive impact to the roads to be able to let our folks safely get to where we need to get to. So we're asking customers to bear with us a little bit this morning for those handful of folks across the state that don't have power. It's on our radar screen, and we're trying to get out there as safely and as quickly as we can.
I know there's an outage in the Irish Channel right now, and people laugh about squirrels and cats and rabbits and different types of animals. But if you Google it, that's a big problem worldwide for utility companies, not just Entergy. And I just wonder, when the weather turns cold, does it increase the likelihood of some kind of problems like that, Scott, or not? Jason, or does it increase the likelihood of that or not?
Of animal related?
Yeah, I don't know if they went looking for warm places or not, because I know people laugh at it, but that is a huge problem for power companies throughout the world, is it not? Animal intrusion into facilities?
It for sure is, and we've had our fair share of those over the years, and some of those are have impacted large numbers of customers before as we work through them. But in this event, we haven't seen that at all as far as animal-related outages. It's been mostly vegetation. We have seen a couple transformers, that have impacted smaller number of customers, experienced damage from whether it be the cold conditions or, drawing excessive load during this event. But in general, it's mostly vegetation, and we're working through those pretty quickly.
So last night you and I spoke, and Noel Norman was here as well, and you talked about challenges for today, maybe overloading system. Redress that a little bit, if you would, please, for people who are not listening last night.
I think we expect to see probably a peak load that for this area, maybe beating previous peaks during a winter period. Today, as we have looked at our projections for load based on temperatures and working with our regional grid operator, we could set some records today. And so we do have adequate generation that is online and available to deliver to our customers in this area, and we've worked to have that online. And it's working and online and reliable, and we expect to not have any issues today from a capacity perspective. But, we do want to monitor that from our point of view. We're continuing to pay attention to our equipment, make sure it's functioning like it's supposed to. And right now, that's not causing us any challenges, and we don't foresee that happening today. But we are going to be pushing to new high peaks in our area, and that's that's a result of this weather we're seeing.
And you talked about vegetation. I guess you're talking about branches falling. And I'm just wondering, as it stays cold, the snow stays on, it doesn't melt, stays on the tree limbs. Is it a concern of yours that some limbs get stressed after bearing a load for a long time, and then you'll have more problems with this? How many problems are you anticipating today? I guess what I'm asking, Scott, Jason, it's been a long night. What kind of problems are you anticipating today?
I would say it's probably going to stay similar to what it has been over the last 24 hours. Just because the precipitation stopped yesterday, as it continues to sit on some of those tree branches, we could see the weight of that precipitation just eventually give way onto to breaking some of those branches or leaning the tree over or whatever the case may be. And so we will see isolated pockets of outages continue through the day due to those types of conditions until that melts away. Nothing that is beyond our capability to respond to in a timely manner, so I expect to keep our outage cases low, work them in a priority status as they continue to come. So we do pay attention to as they come in to work them, so no individual customer stays out for too long. We do recognize the importance of people being able to heat their homes and in a condition like this, because this is historic temperatures and historic conditions for us.
We're talking to Jason Willis, Vice President of Power and Delivery for Entergy Louisiana and Entergy New Orleans. Jason, before we let you go, and I know you're busy, I appreciate your time. Final message, what can people do to help you help them?
I would say two things. One, if they if they see something or there's a condition that they see that can help us respond to something before it impacts the equipment, or if there's an outage that we're unaware of, please report those things. You can report that through our Entergy application, as well as through calling our telephone line, with it, which is 1-800-9-OUTAGE. And then the second thing I would say is, I think we started with this as well, which is the road conditions that are out there are extremely icy right now. Yesterday we had several cases of public inflicted damage, which resulting in customers without power as we work through those situations. Today, especially this morning, before it starts to warm up a little bit today, it's, I'm appealing to folks to stay off the roads, listen to local and state officials as far as, when it's safe to be on roads, and make good decisions in that area so that we aren't responding to those types of events.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate your time as always, and I'm sorry about the name confusion. Jason Willis, Vice President of Power and Delivery for Entergy Louisiana and Entergy New Orleans. Scott Boyle, District Engineer and Minister of Louisiana Department of Transportation Development, is in a meeting, as you would expect he would be, so we hope to get him on as soon as we can. And meanwhile, the message for today is avoid the unforced error. Don't get out there and drive when you shouldn't be and hinder Entergy's efforts. So whoever the DOTD is trying to get stuff done, if you want to sightsee, walk. Put a coat on, put some shoes on, walk around and take a look in your neighborhood. You're not going to see anything different from anywhere else. And let the officials get everything done. I think as you wake up, you'll be shocked to see, again, because of our mindset when it normally snows, the snow is not gone anywhere. The drifts are still there. Nothing's changed. 6:53 traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:57, 3 till 7. Christopher Bannon joins us now with the National Weather Service. Morning, Christopher. How are you?
Morning. Doing great. How you doing?
Pretty good. If you could go ahead and turn the dial, make it about 70 degrees, get all this stuff to melt, make it nice outside so we can start moving around, and we'd appreciate it. Thanks. Goodbye. No, seriously.
We'll get right on that.
get right on that. I think people, and I've been saying this throughout the morning, that it suddenly dawned on me last night, our mindset here when it snows is that we play in it, everything's good, the next day it's messy because it melts and we get back to normal. But that is not going to be the situation here for a couple of different factors, and go into those if you would, please.
Yes, you are correct. Normally we get snow and we have it for a few hours, half a day. It is messy kind of the next day, and it's generally gone by later that afternoon to the next day. And so we're talking like 24 hours, but this time, as cold as it is and as much snow as we got, it's going to take a little while longer to get rid of it, and because of how much snow we got is why we are seeing some of these rather extreme cold temperatures this morning. We're not going to get much above freezing, even if we do get above freezing in a lot of the area, which is going to make it take longer to melt and get out. And even if it melts, the problem we're going to have is that if it doesn't completely evaporate, it'll refreeze again tonight, and then we'll have icy conditions on roads with another hard freeze possible tonight, which will continue to impact any exposed pipes.
So let me ask you this, Christopher. If it melts and it doesn't evaporate, then it refreezes tonight, it could actually be worse than it is now? Accurate or not?
It may not be as bad as it is now, because there's a lot of ice on the roads right now, because people that have been driving over it helped turn it into slush yesterday, right. And that did refreeze overnight and turn into ice. But the problem is that you won't see it tomorrow night, possibly.
That's what I'm saying.
And that'll be the bigger
ice,
issue.
Right? That black ice that we're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And that is the concern. It's just not being able to see the ice tomorrow, thinking that the road is finally clear and everyone drives normal, and then they'll lose control of their vehicle.
So realistically speaking, in the 10 seconds we have left, Friday morning till we get back to normal?
We should be able to get back to normal. The biggest problem is any areas that are shaded.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. We'll be back. WWL. I'm Tommy Tucker. 18 degrees in the Crescent City, 17 in Belchase, 10 in Houma, 14 degrees in Covington, 14 in Slidell. The message today, and again, I got to go back to...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Reading the room, and Governor Landry is not a guy to, I don't think, nonchalantly close government offices or capriciously do that, but the government offices are closed through tomorrow, today and tomorrow, and that's because the highways, and we've talked to meteorologists about this before, the snow is not going to melt with the frozen temperatures. What has melted is going to freeze again tonight, or what does melt, unless it evaporates, is going to freeze again tonight, and that can lead to some very dangerous conditions. So what we're trying to do is prevent the unforced error and compounding problems that don't exist or making problems that exist. Entergy telling us last night that half of the power outages were caused by people driving around and running into power poles. So you're sitting there at home trying to do the right thing, and then some idiot's driving around when they don't have to, just to sightsee, and causes problems, and then you don't have any power, which can compound problems if you're trying to stay warm. And that brings us to Charlie Hudson, East Bend Consolidated Fire Chief for Jefferson Parish, to talk about what the parish is doing in the aftermath of this historic winter event. Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm all right, Chief. The message I'm trying to get out is prevent the mistake. Don't make it worse because of doing something dumb, and I guess that's the message from Jefferson Parish this morning.
Yes, sir. As we know, you mentioned the temperature is going to drop again tonight. We've had a couple unfortunate incidents of people using portable heaters causing fires in the home. Luckily, it was minor. It was caught early. It wasn't during the sleeping hours, so we was able to get the fire under control quickly, and no one was injured. But those portable heating devices are something that needs to have its attention to. I got to have a 3-foot clearance around those devices. And also plug those things into the initial power source. Do not use the extension cords. Some of the extension cords we grab around the house are not for that type of device, and you overpower it, and that could cause a fire.
Not to get too technical here, but it's about the amperage that the heater draws. It uses more amperage as it relates to the electricity to heat the element, to heat your house, and that's why it goes to resistance, and maybe I'm getting a little too technical here, but with the extension cord, you have to have a heavy extension cord if you're going to do that. They're very expensive, and few people have those. So bottom line, don't use the extension cord. Right, Chief?
Yes, sir, and make sure we have that 3-foot clearance around that portable heater. Also, many homes have fireplaces. Have they been cleaned and inspected? Make sure the flue is open. We want the exhaust fumes to be able to get out of the house. If not, it's going to put a problem in the house with gas. Gas is being released in their home, and if you don't have a carbon monoxide detector handy, you don't know that those gases are filling up in your home.
What about I'm sorry.
That is another issue. Yes,
one,
sir.
One good thing is that the power outages so far have been to a minimum, and I guess that means maybe less people using generators. What are you seeing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That has been good. We've been monitoring since Monday afternoon, and it looks like the power power issues have been pretty good in Jefferson Parish.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Charlie Hudson, East Bank Consolidated Fire Chief for Jefferson Parish. Again, the message for today is, like it or not, you got to stay put. The public officials, I think, have done an outstanding job. The Weather Service did an outstanding job. You want to blame somebody? Blame Mother Nature, because there's nothing you can do when it's 19 degrees and you're waiting for snow to melt. And when it does melt, starting around noon when the temperature gets above freezing, it's only going to stay above freezing for about 5 hours. Then it goes down to below freezing again, way below freezing, another hard freeze. And that's where you have the chance for black ice. So you're not going anywhere today. Chances are not tomorrow. And that's why I started by talking about Governor Landry not being one to capriciously close government offices. If he closed the government offices for Wednesday, today, and tomorrow, Thursday, read the room, and you can pretty well plan on not getting back to relative normal until Friday. 722 traffic now, WWL. Charlie Hudson with us, Chief Charlie Hudson, East Bank Consolidated Fire Chief for Jefferson Parish. Chief, what are you hearing from the public services, public works people about fire, water usage, water pressure as it relates to fighting fires and running water to avoid the freeze? What do you want people to do and not do?
Yes, sir. We made out pretty good overnight. Everybody who was trickling that water, it seemed to not affect us too much. And again, tonight, the same situation, those slab houses and those raised houses. If they need to run some water to keep that line clear for the residents, just got to be a pin drop, like a thin noodle, spaghetti noodle. And the furthest away from your water meter, that'll keep that water service going for you. But also it will try to save some of the water system for the firefighting efforts.
So what about washing clothes and those kind of things? Because that's a double-edged sword. If you wash clothes, then it keeps the water moving, but then maybe it uses too much. What is the parish advising people to do with washing clothes or washing dishes?
If we can avoid that, let's try to avoid that for the next couple of days. I mean, we're on day two here now. We think we're going to need a third day tomorrow to get out of this before Friday. And if we can avoid it, put it off to maybe Friday or Saturday this weekend, we'll have some time, we'll be back at home. Let's try to do that, because that's going to help the parish, it's going to help our community.
Chief, thank you so much for your time and your efforts. I'll tell you what, you know, you use the word trinkle, which is, for people that don't know, a real word. And I think that's the word y'all should use when it comes to what you're supposed to do with the water, because that describes it perfectly. The size of the lead in a pencil, not a pencil. Accurate?
Yes, sir.
I like it. Trinkle. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate it. I always try to learn something. That's Chief Charlie Hudson, East Bank Consolidated Fire Chief for Jefferson Parish. Again, the story for today is don't mess anything up. It's Mother Nature doing her thing. And what's the old commercial? Remember that? You can't fight Mother Nature. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Colin Arnold right now. News, weather, and more. WWL First News, back in a flash. All right, Tommy Tucker, 743, 17 till 8 on this frigid Wednesday morning, in case you lost track of the days, and the temperature is below freezing, way below freezing right now, and it's going to stay that way till about noon. Then it goes above freezing for a couple of hours, and some of the snow is going to melt. Unfortunately, then overnight it freezes again, because we're talking about lows tonight again of maybe 27, 28, which is a hard freeze. And that could lead to troubles with the roadway. Colin Arnold joins us now, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans, to give us an update. How you doing, Colin?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
I was telling people earlier, you know, about reading the room, that the governor, I don't think, capriciously opens and closes state office buildings. He closed it today and tomorrow, the government offices. So I got to believe that it's going to be Friday morning until we're talking about kind of looking at anything normal.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to look that way for us too. We try to make that decision, you know, within a day or so, just in case. I mean, if something was to change, and we want to get back open, but we'll be discussing now Thursday today. I mean, we were planning on a half day Thursday, but with this amount of snow, considering kind of what was originally predicted and what actually has ended up falling, I think that you're not far off there. But we'll make official announcements about it. I believe the schools are already announcing, at least in Orleans, that they're going to be closed Thursday as well.
I know I mentioned we have the building where I'm sitting in the studio faces east. and I hear big chunks of snow falling off. I see it melting as the sun hits it, but we shouldn't infer too much from that, right?
No, the sun will make a big difference, even with lower temperatures. From my understanding, is that, you know, it can definitely start melting this even when the temperatures are lower. But the roads are a different story. I mean, that's going to continue to freeze and refreeze. I know that DOTD has resources, including plows from other states that are making their way from west to east, kind of following the storm and hitting the interstates and the major state roads. And I spoke with my counterpart in Lake Charles yesterday, and they got this, you know, maybe 5 or 6 hours before us, and had a blizzard warning there as well with high winds. And so everybody across South Louisiana from southwest to southeast is dealing kind of with the same thing right now. But I know that those resources are coming, and we have 14 snow plows that the city contracted that are just, I mean, they're hauling butt. They're all over the place. And we were even able to get out to the airport last night, and they were able to do the runways and the entryways to the airport. So hopefully that will clear up issues with them.
So what streets are you plowing right now, and what's the priority on those, Colin?
Priorities: elevated roadways and bridges, just because they tend to keep refreezing, and obviously the Crescent City Connection is if not the, you know, most important artery between West and East Bank, and so to even just to keep that open for emergency vehicles right now is a priority. And then the roadways leading to University Medical Center, because of their level one trauma center status for the whole region, is important. And then where our attack plan is basically every critical kind of major artery street in New Orleans. So, you know, you can imagine from Canal, Claiborne, Broad, Carrollton, you know, Elysian Fields, the like. And they've been able to hit a bunch of those yesterday. And then they're going to continue doing that, and then they'll follow behind with salt. And so that's just going to continue as long as we have them until, you know, we get out of this.
So are you guys doing a Crescent City Connection, or is that DOTD?
We've been assisting, quite frankly, and I anticipate that to continue until, you know, some more of those other resources come in. But we recognize the importance of the bridge, and we have a really good relationship with Scott Boyle from DOTD, and we're just doing everything we can to keep major critical infrastructure arteries like that open.
Do you have any idea when the Crescent City Connection could open again?
I have not checked in with him this morning as of yet. I don't think it's going to be today. You know, if I had to estimate, I would imagine sometime tomorrow we'll probably be able to get it like totally reopened.
Tell me what else is going on in the city.
We still have a couple of warming centers opened. One is at capacity at Rosenwald. We have Treme Center open that still has space, and encouraging people to make their way there. If they're having issues, call 311, and we'll do what we can. But I have to be honest, at this point, it's very difficult for any vehicles to get around. And so we're utilizing EMS, and I know we discussed yesterday putting, you know, ambulances and sprint units out in geographic areas so they don't have to, you know, make huge trips back and forth, utilizing hospitals within the areas of those regions, whether it be on the West Bank, whether it be out in New Orleans East or in the main part of the city. And that's, you know, just what we're going to continue doing today. But I think our focus today is we have a lot of front-end loaders, bobcats, and different things that the city has, and Sewage and Water Board, and we want to start utilizing them to get into kind of the snow fight. And then it was just brought to my attention, we've got all these construction sites as well that have some of this equipment, and we want to look at possibly having some of these construction sites start clearing streets around where they are and just helping us out with just trying to move snow out of the streets and try and clear up as much of this as possible within the next day and a half.
Give me a second. Let me take a break for traffic, and then we'll come back with Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the city of New Orleans. I think everybody's done a great job so far. Now it's up to us not to mess it up by causing any problems or any, as I call them, unforced errors, because we're trying to get out and about too quickly. Right now, traffic, WWL. All right, 7:52, 8 till 8, back with Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security. Colin, we're waiting to talk to Scott Boyle, so when he calls in, I'm going to go to him to get some information that we all can use. What do you want people of Orleans Parish to know as far as just spending today? Because here's what I struggle with. I know people maybe need stuff. I hesitate to say what's open because I don't want people driving around and causing problems. However, if businesses are open and they want to serve people, if people can walk there, I don't know how to achieve that balance. Help me out.
No, I mean, you're on the right track. I think it's, it's difficult to ask people to not drive and to just stay put as much as they can. But we're still, I mean, this is kind of going to be the hangover after the, you know, everything that we saw yesterday, which was, you know, I've seen just unprecedented, and you see people out enjoying it and kind of just mystified by what's going on. And I would agree. I mean, I had a chance to step outside and take a look too, and it's just, you know, something that, you know, I'll never see again here in my lifetime, you know, I don't think. And so, but now is going to be kind of the tough part, which is, you know, the marathon, not a sprint kind of mentality, where this is going to go away, and it's going to go away really quickly towards the end of the week, but we're going to try and mechanically remove a lot of this so people can start getting back to normal. But the best advice now is to not drive. And if you absolutely have to, you know, I heard, Courtney saying it's all surface streets and it's all backed up right now. And anything elevated right now is just completely out of the question. And some of the things we saw yesterday was people driving around barricades. And I'm going to say this, very limited. Now, most of the public did exactly what we asked, and I just ask that that continues. But, you know, there was people that, you know, we could get to them, but their vehicles are still up there, trying to, you know, going around barricades to get up on the interstate for whatever reason. And they're not going to move until we get stuff plowed and we're able to even get a tow truck to those vehicles. And
thank
so,
you, Colin. I'm going to go to Scott Boyle now, the District Engineer and Administrator, Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. Maybe you can tell us both some stuff. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing good, Tommy. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time. Thanks for all of your efforts. Tell me, for people that want to know about the major arteries, I guess we'll start there and work down. Everybody wants to know when the Crescent City Connection is going to be open. Everybody wants to know when I-12 is going to be open. Everybody wants to know when stuff's going to be open. You're at the mercy of the weather. Tell me about plowing efforts, desalting, and how all of that factors into this.
We're bringing out the heavy equipment this morning. We lost almost all of our assets yesterday, between 11 and 4 o'clock, with just the proliferation of this storm that came through. We did our best, and you know, unfortunately, the weather was just too much. You know, we had pre-treated, we had worked hard, and you know, it was just too much snow. Right now, we're gathering up heavy equipment. We're bringing in other resources from other areas, and we're going to start trying to just physically get the snow off the road and the bridges right now. We're working with the city of New Orleans. They got a contract for some snow plows. We're bringing in motor graders. We got front end loaders. We're focusing first on these bridges. The three bridges that I've been talking to you about over the last 3 days, we lost all of them, and we're gonna be focusing on the Crescent City Connection as well as the UEP Long Bridge to try and reclaim those assets today.
So the other elevated bridges in the area, for whatever reason, I'm thinking Woodland Highway Bridge, because I know that was closed. Chefmentura, the high rise is closed, yes?
Yes. Yeah, the interstate's closed from in this area from Twin Span to Spillway.
So
that's going to remain.
You start with the river crossings and then work out from there, Scott, is what you're looking at?
Yeah. Yes, sir. We're gonna do that. We're going to try and hit different routes. I got a crew from Arkansas that's been helping in the western part of the state. They're going to come down, and they're actually going to start working on the interstate. Our district crews are going to be working on those river crossings. So we're going to do a multi-faceted approach and try to just knock everything out. You know, Tommy, if we did nothing, everything would be melted by Sunday. We're trying to be proactive, and we want to get these roads and bridges open as soon as possible. So we're trying late Thursday, sometime on Friday, you know, depending on what the temperatures do. We kind of have a good feeling of what it's going to be, but we're definitely doing our best, and we're trying to get everything open as soon as possible.
Wait, so when you're talking about the major river crossings and interstates, you're talking about late Thursday, early Friday, best possible case?
We're trying to get the river crossings open today. We're trying to get those river crossings open today. We got crews on both UEP Long and Crescent City Connection right now. We're trying to remove all of the snow, and we're going to have an opportunity after lunch where the temperature is going to creep up above 32, somewhere in the 35, 36 range, and we're going to go in and throw that salt down so we can reclaim those bridges.
So after that happens, presuming there'll be no more precipitation, which there's not, then it should remain open overnight, and that you wouldn't have a problem after you put the salt down or whatever you got to put down in the brine?
Correct. Yeah, that's what we're anticipating. The caveat with that is that, yeah, those bridges will be passable, but everything around them will still have a lot of snow. So we need to ensure that connectivity, even if it's from Chapultepec to General de Gaulle. We need to have that connectivity for emergency service personnel, police, fire, ambulance, that they can get to and from the river. We're not doing this right now for residents and commuters. This is strictly for emergency operations until, tomorrow, Friday, then we're going to start opening up more things and being in a position where we can, have greater continuity throughout the city with our roadways.
For a time frame where people can really drive around, realistic, you're talking tomorrow evening, accurate?
That would be the earliest. It could well go into Friday morning. So, we're doing our best and pushing for late Thursday, but just to be conservative and with the amount of precipitation and snow we've gotten and ice, it may well likely be closer to Friday.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate your time. Know you're busy. We'll take a break. Come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. I'm sorry. I was engaging with the producer who apparently is entertaining themselves cracking wise while we're trying to get, stuff done here. But on a serious note, somebody texted in, and I hope this isn't the beginning of it, but it says, my water was just cut off in Slidell. I can't reach anyone at Slidell Water Company. Can y'all find out anything? I didn't anticipate no water. I've been dripping water, so pipes not frozen. Please help. I would tell you that we'll check with Slidell, and we'll put the message out there. If anybody else got problems in Slidell, we'll let you know. But generally speaking, that would indicate a frozen pipe. I don't know your situation, but I just know from experience that unless you've been watching that water trickle, eventually it slows and then something freezes. Somebody texted about, do I know what the word assume means? Please stop assuming that everybody's sightseeing. I didn't assume anything. I'm telling you, unless you need to drive, don't drive because you can cause problems for everybody else. That being said, I know there are a lot of people that are out going to go driving around just to see sights and then going to cause problems. And then you're going to be blaming public officials. And last night we talked to Entergy before we get to Ghassan Korban, executive director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. The problems that knockdown power poles have caused for the Sewage and Water Board. Half of the energy outages last night that Entergy Louisiana had were due to people driving around and knocking down power poles. Yeah, I think every public agency has done a great job. The thing we have to now not do is the forced error where we cause more problems for people by driving where perhaps we shouldn't or don't need to unless it's absolutely necessary and causing issues that relate in power outages or God forbid, some kind of water issue. With that, we welcome in Ghassan Korban, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. How you doing, Ghassan?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Tommy. Great advice, by the way, that you started with.
Well, I'm not trying to be a nanny state or help anybody or anything else. I'm just trying to try to get out of this as quickly as possible. You know, I heard you talking to Newell yesterday. I didn't get all of it because a lot of stuff was going on. But you have experience when it comes to this, having worked in Milwaukee for so long, but it's night and day difference when it comes to the systems that we have here and there in preparation for this type of event, right?
Oh, certainly. On many fronts, obviously, the roadways are handled differently. But in terms of water, you know, the system in Milwaukee is much deeper because of frost that goes 4 to 6 feet in the ground because of the length of the low temperatures and such. So we do have I refer back to my days in Milwaukee, where we would have an uptick in water main breaks during, you know, frigid temperatures and such. But here, obviously, we're more exposed. The pipes are much more shallow. There's a lot of structures that are above ground. There's, you know, that space underneath the homes with pipes that may be exposed and not protected. So definitely we have more exposure to colder temperature in the city. Having said that, we've had a fairly quiet night since the beginning of the storm. We've had about 160 calls, which is a little higher than usual. I would say 100 of them may be no water or low pressure. And my advice to people, just like the case in Slidell that you mentioned earlier, call your neighbors, check with your neighbors. If your neighbors have water, that obviously that's an indication that it's your own feed that is frozen. And obviously it may not be evident in terms of water gushing, because when it freezes, it holds, and then it will only show a leak or a burst pipe after it thaws. So you just have to wait it out. There's a couple hours coming that with higher temperature this morning or today that hopefully some of those pipes will thaw out, and hopefully there's enough give in the pipe that it doesn't burst, and then have water and then no damage. But if you do have a burst pipe, obviously contain that with the shutoff that you have in the front of your house to, obviously keep the damage, to a minimum, as well as, helping us maintain pressure throughout the city.
Hope.
By the way.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you finish. Go ahead, please.
I was going to say that we are experiencing about, I wouldn't say a significant drop, but about 5 to 7 PSIs in pressure at our plant. That means the consumption is higher. I mean, I would say we're fairly steady. We're keeping up with demand, but obviously the more consumption that goes up, and then we can only produce so much water at a given time. But so far, so good. If people continue to heed our recommendation with a spaghetti thin trickle rather than gushing your water out and using it excessively, we should be okay. I mean, we have one more night to worry about because the temperature are forecasted to drop below freezing one more night, and hopefully the Thursday will be a good day for assessing what the damages are. Hopefully they are minimal.
Ghassan, I think your epitaph should be, if it wasn't this, it'd be something else. Let me take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about what I fear is, I hope people took the necessary precautions, but they don't always do that. I think a lot of people didn't think it was going to snow like it did, didn't think it was going to get as cold as it got. And my concern is, as the temperature rises, we're going to start seeing pipes broken all over the place. There are only so many plumbers to go around, and I'm concerned about water pressure dropping, boil water advisories, and more. And you can address that when we come back, and any contingency plans, if there's anything you can do. We're talking with Ghassan Korban, Executive Director of New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. You got any questions? 504-260-1870. And I'll pass them along. 821 traffic now, WWL. 827, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ghassan Korban, our friend, executive director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. Ghassan, I've said earlier, I don't know what's worse, people trying to get, having lived here all my life, people trying to get plywood before a hurricane or pipe fittings after a freeze, because it's been a while since we had a real hard freeze. I literally once did see a fist fight break out over a piece of a pipe fitting at a Harry's Ace Hardware in Algiers years and years ago. How concerned are you that as the temperature rises, a lot of people either didn't do what they were supposed to do, or it was just too cold, or maybe they weren't able to do what they could to protect the pipes, didn't do it properly. And you got, you know, like in the old days where a cartoon character would get shot and water's leaking all over the place. Maintaining water pressure, contingency plans, anything you can do, et cetera. Address that, please.
Well, we're certainly concerned. I mean, that's a legitimate scenario where, you know, some people did not do what they were supposed to do. I mean, so far, the indications that are most people are heeding to the advice and doing what they're supposed to do. But I know for a fact that there will be, you know, a segment of our customers who did not. And, you know, what that thawing that is coming in a few hours will reveal the scale of the issue, including some of our water mains. Mm-hmm. We are getting some reports. I mean, we're bracing for an uptick for certain, and we have all the staffing that we need to respond. Obviously, traversing these streets is not easy, and we want to lead by example by avoiding driving if we don't have to. But I know my staff is monitoring pressure throughout the city to make sure that they don't see anything drastic and sudden, and then obviously we'll have to respond accordingly.
This is a low-tech, fragile system, Ghassan, and when it comes to water main breaks, I just wanted to drill down on it a little bit. You can tell by a rapid loss of pressure in one area or the other, and should people be on the lookout for this and call you if they see something?
Absolutely. We do rely on our customers to report leaks, and we have got few, and obviously we're holding to respond because they did not sound major. But if we do have a major one today, we just talked about it earlier this morning with staff, that we will have to do what we need to get to the site and at least or at minimum isolate that break. Obviously, because of these conditions, you get water gushing and eventually freezing and causing more issues, not to mention no water or low pressure. So we're ready to respond. And again, you know, we continue to ask our customers to, while asking them to conserve a little bit, don't overuse water. Make sure that there is a constant, you know, spaghetti thin flow at any given time, especially when it's below freezing. When it's above freezing, you can maybe not do that. But for the most part, for the next maybe 12 or 18 hours, be careful and be watchful of the temperatures and run the water as much as you know. Spaghetti thin line to keep that water flowing.
Fire department guy used chief in Jefferson Parish used the word trinkle, which is actually a real world word, and it describes it properly. Ghassan, do you have the people, given the road closures and everything else, and you're confident you're going to have, if water main breakages do reveal themselves or any other problems, you're going to have the people and the access to the equipment, and the equipment's going to be able to get out to wherever you have to get to take care of these things?
Well, we are ready. Yes, we have crews staged, obviously making sure that their equipment are accessible and clear and everything. We even talked about possibly relying on the city and the temporary contract they have with snow plows to clear a path or two for us to access a major water main break. So we're anticipating, you know, most scenarios, and obviously we'll be as responsive as we can be.
When would you, and I know we got good news here, but when would you know in terms of temperature about the severity of water main breaks and also about people's houses? And is there, given the weather forecast and temperature, is a time frame you're looking at where it's like, okay, this is 0 hour where we'll know what we're looking at?
Well, we have two critical periods coming up. The thawing period will reveal some breaks because, you know, if it's a frozen pipe, especially the smaller ones, they hold. They don't show a leak, and they may be cracked even. And then once they thaw, the leak is evident, and then that's when you discover it. Same for our water main break. So that next thawing period will be very revealing. But then we're also concerned about the overnight temperatures coming up, where you know another drop in temperature that may pose more threat and more frozen pipes. So Thursday may be another day where we're going to see probably the most significant number. But by then, hopefully, the roads are more accessible and we can get to them in a faster manner.
Thank you. I know you're busy, Ghassan. I appreciate your time and your efforts. Ghassan Qurban, Executive Director of the New Orleans Surge and Water Board, 8:32, couple of minutes late. Sorry, guys. Here we go. WWL First News. 8:50, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly to Ray Comiskey, Fixed Operations Director from Premier Nissan of Metairie. Ray, good morning. What do people need to know about the car and after all this cold weather, things they should do and not do?
Well, first of all, don't even think about putting hot water on your car. You will pop your windshield, there's no doubt. Best thing you could tell you about getting ready to drive your car again in the near future, maybe not so near, is patience. Be really patient about how you clean the ice off your car. Best thing you can do today is probably remove the powdery snow from your car so it doesn't become ice later when the thaw starts, because it's going to be cold again later and it's going to freeze up again. Mm-hmm. So get that soft snow off of it now when you can. You know, only use plastic ice scrapers. Never use a metal ice scraper. You know, your battery, if it's marginal, will more than likely fail. Battery strength is reduced by about 50% when it gets down to 20 and below. You know, if you have an EV vehicle, your EV range may be affected and your charging may be affected. You know, tire pressures drop when the temperature drops. If you don't have adequate windshield washer and radiator fluid, you know, for the extremes, your windshield washer bottle could possibly break. Your windshield washers may not work. And when you're trying to de-ice your automobile, maybe opening the doors may be a problem. Remember, the ice is stronger than plastic. And if you're dealing with trying to force a door open, you might even break a plastic door handle. So there's a lot of things. Just be patient, be real patient, and be safe. Above all, be safe.
Be patient, go slow, and as you said, when it comes to driving around in the near future, probably not going to happen anyway, so you got all the time in the world to be patient. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate your time and your insight. Ray Comiskey, Fixed Operations Director for Premier Nissan of Metairie. 8:52, we'll take a break. We come back, we'll talk to Carlton Dufresne Show with the Causeway, see what's going on there right now. Traffic, WWL. 8:56, 4 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly to Carlton Dufresne Show with the Causeway, Executive Director of the Causeway. Carlton, you know, I'm getting texts from people, when can I go to work, when can I this, when can I that? Bottom line is, this was the equivalent weather-wise of a Category 5 hurricane, I would say, in terms of winter weather, and we're not used to dealing with it. And go ahead.
Tom, no, you're exactly right. This is our Katrina, but we've got most of us have power, thank goodness. And the problem is right now, stay home. We're doing our darndest to try to get some work on the causeway to get this thing at least open for first responders by tomorrow. We got literally 24 miles of popsicle. Mm-hmm. The good news is got a bunch of help from some private companies coming to try to. Either end of the bridge, Tommy's got like 2 feet of snow on the ramps. Mm. And I'll send you some photos later on the deck right now that just it looks literally like a pan full of white stuff all the way up to the curbs and the entire northern end of the bridge at the moment. But the message you said to everybody, stay home, enjoy. Go outside, play with in the yard for a little bit, but remember it is dangerous all over the place. Just trying to, for me, get to the office was a pain in the neck this morning. So, but look, we're going to get through it. It is another day in which to excel. And man, everybody remember this. This is part of the good stuff of Southeast Louisiana.
Yeah, you got to be patient is what you got to be, Carlton. I just want everybody to realize that because you're working as hard as you can. Everybody is to get everything open as quickly as possible. But this was a once in 130-year weather event. I don't think it's going too far as to say it's the winter equivalent of a Category 5 storm in terms of dealing with the aftermath of it. And everybody's just got to be patient, just like you don't come out of a hurricane the next day. I think our mindset, and you grew up here as well as I did, is that it snows a little bit, then the next day the sun comes out, it melts, and we're back to normal. That's not what this was. This was 8 to 10 inches of snow, followed by freezing temperatures and a day of freezing weather for the most part, which could be followed by another freezing night. So
yes, no, that's exactly right. So whatever progress we make today, it may set us back again tonight. But we're going to make it through it.
So just, the earliest people can really plan on using the causeway as a commuter would be Friday morning, maybe?
I'm hopeful that we might get something tomorrow evening. It depends on, frankly, Tommy, on just how high the temperatures get today. The wind's laid down. That's helping. The biggest thing right now is how high do we get today and how cold does it get tonight? How much of this stuff that we're able to move off the bridge remelts?
Yeah, because
Friday's a good ETA, though.
And it's got to evaporate as well. You got more ice. Thank you, Carlton.
Yeah,
go back,
you're right.
Back
take
to
care,
work.
Guys.
Are you busy? You bet.
Thank you.
For the people that are texting in from Slidell, we checked with St. Tammany Parish, and they said they have no large-scale issue at the plant, so it sounds like their pipes might have frozen. I'm getting texts from people saying, how can you inquire on air how pipes freeze while water is dripping? Well, if it's cold enough and the pipes are exposed enough, sometimes dripping the water is not enough, having lived here all my life. And I think if you wake up and you don't have any water, Ghassan Korban didn't talk about any major leaks or anything else. So I got to believe that pipes are beginning to show signs of freezing. And again, all plumbing hells could break loose as it thaws out. We'll take a break. Come back. WWL. 9:10 now. If you are having any issues with water, you're welcome to text us at 504-260-1870. I'm getting a text from somebody who has some water problems and they're trying to logic their way out of the problem. And I don't think you can do that because it's physics. Two neighbors have water. They say this makes no sense at all because all in this 9 and a.m. water's been dripping from three separate faucets, three different areas of the house. And somebody texted in and said two things. One, just dripping a faucet overnight. If everybody drips or runs their water all night, the pressure will drop and so will those drips. Somebody else said a pencil lead stream is faster than just a drip. If pipes are exposed and the temperature goes below 25 degrees, the pipes will freeze faster than just at 30 degrees, especially if it's windy. And again, I think we got to all remember this is a once in 130-year weather event. The city got 10 inches of snow. We're not used to dealing with any of that, followed by two nights of freezing, hard freeze temperatures. And our mindset is normally it snows, and then the next day we get up and the temperature rises, snow melts, it's a mess. But, okay, that's over with. That's not going to be the case here. And with the highways and everything else you're really talking about, two more days until this event is completely over, Wednesday and Thursday, and opening of all major highways and so forth. And then, I hate to tell you, but some of y'all are going to have plumbing issues. I'm just a messenger here that you didn't anticipate because of the hard freeze that happens every time we have these hard freezes in the area. Unfortunately, that can lead to water pressure drops. That can lead to fires with people trying to heat their homes. And that brings us to Brian Adams, Louisiana State Fire Marshal. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. I would have never thought we'd see this, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and that's what people need to realize. Brian, you're the Louisiana State Fire Marshal. Try to put it in perspective for people, please, because everybody wants to get right back to normal. And as I said earlier, I do think that our mindset, and you grew up here as well as I did, it snows, all right, then the next day you go out and play a little bit, and it melts, and it's a mess, and then it's over with. But this is different. This is, I called it almost like a Category 5 hurricane, but of winter weather. Not to make a comparison between this and a Cat 5 at all, but when it comes to winter events, this is a bigger deal than just a casual snowfall.
Yeah, it is, Tommy. I mean, look, the roads are still iced over. You know, y'all just reported how many highways and interstates are still closed. The snow is starting to melt a little. It melted a little overnight. You know, you're going to get black ice on the roads. Mm-hmm. So, look, we just continue to ask people stay home. I know it's tough to stay indoors, but get out there and play in the snow again today. And, look, I wanted to just take a minute to say that we've been very fortunate over the last 2 days. We've had no fire-related fatalities, man. So I really think we're getting our message out with this home heating safety stuff that we've been pushing for weeks now. So if you don't mind, I'd just like to go over those precautions again.
Please, please, please.
Yeah, so space heaters, 3 to 5 feet away from any combustibles in a house. That's bedspreads, curtains, furniture. You know, put it on a hard surface floor. Don't put it on a rug. Plug in those heating appliances directly into the wall. Don't use power strips or extension cords. Power strips and extension cords are not made to host those devices. Don't use your stove or your oven to heat your home. It's not made for that, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a gas stove. That gas stove could create carbon monoxide, which we all know is a silent killer. Don't overfill your fireplaces. Look, if you use candles at night because you're out of power, make sure you put the candles out and make sure that those space heaters are not left unattended. Check your smoke alarm before you go to bed. Always check that smoke alarm. And look, you know, our Operation Save a Life program, once we get past this, we're going to start pushing that program really hard again. We've got a lot of smoke alarms we like to give out to the public. We do that through all of our fire service partners. We've got about 200 fire departments across the state that participate with us. You call your local fire department, and we will come install a smoke alarm in your home free of charge.
I don't want anybody to have frozen pipes. I don't want anybody to panic. I don't want one problem to compound the other. And since 6 o'clock, Brian, I've been saying, you know, we got to – now what we have to do, considering it snowed, and like you're saying, get out today, play in it. Don't drive around unless you absolutely positively have to. Few things are going to be open anyway. And if you want to take a tour, walk. Take a nice walk in the winter weather and enjoy the snow and play and all that stuff. But my concern is, as this event continues, frozen pipes start to happen, or in advance of pipes freezing, people hear about frozen pipes, so they start running more and more water, and as a result, the pressure drops, and you guys have trouble fighting fires should they break out. So one thing kind of compounds the other, right?
Yeah, we do. And look, we recommend not to run it, but we understand that with the amount of houses and homes that we have in this region that are above ground, we understand that you have to do it. Run a little bit of water. I know that in our region down here, Tommy, that we've placed water tankers all over this area to make sure that if we get a home fire, we've got adequate water. Those trucks carry a bunch of water. You're going to have, you know, infrastructure issues with broken pipes all over Jefferson, Orleans Parish. We know that. You just got to sit and wait. You're going to have to wait till the pipes thaw out, and we'll figure those things out. In the meantime, I think our local fire service is prepared, and they're ready to do what they have to.
If when it comes to again, heating the home and fireplaces, talk about the fireplace if it hasn't been cleaned in a while, because I know they had one fire, maybe two, that broke out because of that. Mine hadn't been cleaned in a while, and as a result of that, I did have it cleaned and used it successfully. But people, again, whenever you get to doing something involving heat or electricity or gas or fire, something that you don't normally do, that's where you got to stop and take a second and a breath and think, wait a minute, this is a good idea or not.
Yeah, over the years of using those fireplaces, soot and build up inside of the chute going up. So you want to make sure that annually you probably get that thing checked. Make sure the damper's open. Don't overfill it. Don't put more in it than you need to. Put an adequate amount. It's not going to heat anymore just because you put more logs in it. So just be careful with that. Again, make sure the damper's open and make sure that you just keep an eye on it and don't leave it unattended at night. You go to bed, put it out.
I think we've been very lucky so far, knock wood, with the, you know, as, and you well know, Brian, as a state fire marshal, what happens when the weather turns cold and people inadvertently killing themselves. Hopefully, everybody's taken, paid attention to the advice we've been handing out, you've been handing out, and follows the instructions and stays safe throughout the end of this.
Yeah, we can only pray that the message is getting out, man. So we've had an extremely busy year up until this event. And it looks like because we've been pushing it so hard early in the year that the message is getting out, and just be careful.
Any final thoughts?
No, man, I just would never thought I'd seen this event. I mean, I know you and I have been around the West Bank in this region a long time, man. I would have never thought it.
Thanks, Brian Adams. I appreciate it. 9:17. Now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about frozen pipes, and we'll get an update from Plaquemines Parish, Jerry Turlich, in a moment. Talk about driving conditions in Plaquemines Parish, Bell Chase, etc. here on WWL. 9:23 now, Tommy Tucker. Paul LaGrange is going to join us in a little bit, host of the Home Improvement Show, owner of LaGrange Consulting, to talk about freezing pipes. This is going to be a two-day event. We're not out of this yet, even though the snow stopped falling and the sun is shining. With the below-freezing temperatures, there's going to be some roadway conditions that are going to cause problems. Also, I'm going to text from somebody that says any reported water issues from St. Charles Parish had running water at 3 a.m., but at 7 a.m., no running water. Again, as we'll talk to Paul LaGrange about it. If you have any questions about plumbing, piping, etc., text in right now at 504-260-1870. We'll get ready for Paul. First, we wanted to check in with Jerry Turlett, Sheriff of Plaquemines Parish, see what's going on there. How you doing, Sheriff?
I'm doing good, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm all right. I hadn't been home. I got some pictures from my neighbors. Quite the snowfall in Belchase, huh?
Hello, man. I haven't seen this. I've seen a little snowfall, I think, back in maybe 1978 was the last time we had a little bit of snowfall, like, but nowhere near like this.
Tell me what's going on with driving around a parish, Highway 23. You got two bridges. You got the drawbridge, which is the state that maintains it, as I understand it. Plenary is maintaining the new bridge that they built and are repairing. Then you got Woodland Highway. Take me through all of that, Sheriff.
Okay. Well, I'm about to go over the Belchase Bridge now. That is open. Well, we're very thankful. Venture Global came with their road graders last night. I know my chief and my major actually over the patrol division. They were following the graders as they were clearing some of the roadways. So very thankful for that. The bridge is open, coming in and out north and south on 23. So you can travel in and out the parish. I know we had a curfew, but we are suggesting that people limit their amount that they get on the highways because it is a little icy. A lot of us that are driving around have four-wheel drive, so we can navigate it a little easier.
What about 23? Is that Woodland Highway? It's 401, right? I got my numbers confused.
406.
406.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Tommy, I'm gonna get you the update on that.
But I think, Jerry, actually, as I asked the question, I don't know that that's going to lead you anywhere other than to a neighborhood because I think the Woodland Bridge is closed. So if you're going to go in and out of the
parish. The Woodland Bridge is closed. 23 is open, so we're good there. You know, we look pretty good as far as getting out the parish. I have not gone down Woodland yet, mm-hmm. and when I went. Yesterday it was closed, so I don't have the update on that one.
And what about heading south?
We're good to go. The road grade has cleared it all the way down, so we're pretty good to go on Highway 23.
And how about the East Bank?
East Bank, it's navigable, but like I said, it's tough conditions to get on this icy roadway.
So don't do it. Don't do it unless you have
to. Don't do it unless you have to.
And thanks to Venture LNG for helping in out because they had some traffic concerns in the parish because of that, but they pitched in when you needed them. Any final thoughts, Sheriff?
No, I just want to give our residents, just give them an update that the bridge is open. The most common question is, how is the Highway 23 bridge? Can we get in and out? And you can. We're going to give an update if we do decide to put a curfew on this evening because we do expect the conditions to worsen and we expect it to freeze over a little bit and driving on black ice very difficult. So we'll probably do a curfew again this evening.
All right, Sheriff, thank you. You can let us know as soon as that happens. We'll pass along Sheriff Jerry Turlich with Plaquemines Parish. Paul LaGrange joins us now, host of the Home Improvement Show and owner of LaGrange Consulting. How you doing, Paul?
Good morning, sir.
Did you have a nice day yesterday? You and the family get to play out in the snow at all or not?
Well, my oldest son, who is a firefighter, and his wife is an emergency room nurse, both got called into first responder duties. Mm-hmm. And I got notification from the power company. They lost power at their home yesterday morning. So that being said, they're on a water well. I had to go over there and drain the pipes before the water froze. Mm-hmm. So me playing in the snow was driving about 10 miles an hour down the road very carefully as I could to get to their house and drain water pipes in the freezing weather.
All right, let's get the frozen pipes because I'm getting texts from people, one in Slidell, one in St. Charles Parish, wanting to know if there's a problem. And look, I've lived here all my life, and I know how that scenario goes where you go to turn on the water and it doesn't work. And this happened to me on Saturday morning in Belchase. It happened to be because of a fire hydrant that was knocked over, so it had nothing to do with the weather, but my first thought was, wait a minute, it can't have frozen over, it's like 50 degrees, and it didn't, but I know that feeling is the point. When you turn the faucet on, you immediately hope that there's a problem with the main water systems. We're not hearing anything from any municipalities about problems with water distribution systems, so you take me from the get-go. What should people look for? What can they do as this freeze hopefully goes away a little bit at noon, but then comes back?
So here's the thing that you need to be very careful about is, let's presume you have a pipe that's frozen, not allowing water to go through, whether it's an ice obstruction or it's completely froze over. We don't know if that pipe has a breach in it or not. And we're not going to know that until the water starts to flow. So it's very, very important that we are extremely diligent in paying attention, listening for water running or dripping, and also our eyes, walk around checking. So as temperatures are coming up, I want you to carefully go outside, and I know there's ice out there, so be very careful with the black ice, and walk around your home and see if there's any water that's running or dripping that should not be. Do the same thing on the inside of your home, inside the bathroom cabinets, the kitchen cabinets, behind your washing machine, and in places where you wouldn't normally think to go look. And in the event that you do have a pipe that's frozen and you would like to take some proactive action, you need to be very, very careful on what materials or tools you use to remove and melt that ice. Let me tell you the things not to use. Do not use a blowtorch. Do not use a paint stripper. Do not use a any gun? Type of flame. Okay,
or heat gun, like that's what a paint stripper
is.
Yeah, okay,
that's a paint stripper, a heat gun. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you for clarification.
That's right.
But you can use a hair dryer, and when you do use a hair dryer, I want you to not keep that hair dryer focused on one, hyper focused on one spot. I would like you to move it. I don't have hair, so I don't have this problem. But when you have hair, you're drying your hair, you don't keep the hair dryer in one spot. You move it front to back and up and down, right? So
well,
you want to keep passing over the
pipe. I have my memories. I have my memories, Paul, but yes, I know what you're saying. You keep moving it all over the place.
You keep moving all over the place. Yeah. It's the same thing when you're defrosting a pipe, right? And while you're doing that, the hot and the cold faucet that you're working on that's not allowing water to come through, and it could be maybe just the hot side or the cold side, but it doesn't have to be both. You want to have those faucet valves open so that when water starts to defrost and starts to move through that pipe, it has a place for it to go. And also, as you're heating the water, you don't want to trap it in that pipe. So leave those faucets open while you're slowly and methodically with a blow dryer, hair dryer, to go ahead and dry and melt that ice. Now, that being said, as the water starts to run, it may be that it also gets blocked with a chunk of ice. Mm-hmm. That's okay, and that's probably to be expected. Just continue to let the water run over that ice, and it will melt it, and also continue to use your hair dryer, and it will melt it. And once that is removed, just remember tonight when it freezes again, that's that faucet or that particular device you want to trickle water through so it doesn't get frozen again tonight.
You got to be patient with that hair dryer, right? It's not a blowtorch, and it's not going to work right away.
It's not. It does take some time to do that. The reason we're not using any type of torch, because at that point, particularly if you're blowing into an opening where the pipe comes out of your wall, you're going to catch your house on fire. And this is something that happens and happens often. Listen, our first responders have their hands full right now. We don't need to be catching your house on fire because you're trying to defrost a pipe. Now, if that pipe starts to leak, meaning there is a breach, as it's got a burst in it, right? Know where your main water valve is for the home. And at that point, you have to turn off your main water and drain the rest of the pipes that are not frozen so that you can prevent future pipes from bursting.
Say that again one more time, because this is a radio and people can't rewind like YouTube, and I want them to understand exactly what it is you just told them.
So in the event you start to defrost that pipe and you realize, oh gosh, the pipe is broken, there's a breach in it, it's leaking water outside the pipe, you want to turn the main water valve for your house, the entire house water supply, off, and you want to drain the rest of your pipes from your house to prevent additional pipes from getting damaged with water that's in it. And it's going to freeze tonight. It's going to freeze again tomorrow. So you're trying to take a proactive step of, number one, not flooding your home because of a broken pipe, and number two, you're trying to reduce the amount of pipes from getting future damage that currently are okay.
When it comes to when the water comes on, and Dave Cohen brought this up, I think it's a good point. when if you do have a broken pipe, it's not going to resume as a trickle, right?
Well, initially, depending on how frozen the water is and where exactly what length the pipe is frozen, it certainly can start to trickle. But once it starts running, you can expect it to melt that ice, and it's going to be a flood of water coming out that pipe.
And everybody should know where the main valve is for people that don't know. How do they find it?
Well, if you know where your water meter is, which it may be covered with snow right now,
right.
So I'm hoping you know about where it is. You want to determine that from that water meter to the corner of your home or to the one of the sides of your house, the main water pipe is going to come up on the vertically on the outside face of your house, about knee height down. You need to find that, and there should be a valve right there to turn the whole water off to your house. If there isn't, you can always go find your water meter, take the cover off, and take an adjustable plug and close the main valve at the water meter.
For people that are waking up and they're turning on the scenario that I described when we came on with, you know, they turn on a valve, they think automatically there's something wrong with the system. Explain what might have happened, or even though if they did have the water dripping, how the pipes could freeze, Paul, because I'm getting some people texting in. And look, it's human nature. I'm not criticizing, but you try to logic your way out of physics and you can't do it, right?
Yes. Yeah, so a couple things have happened there. Either your pipe or portion or segment of your pipe was not protected with insulation, which, keep in mind, insulation is only going to buy you a few degrees and a few hours of time. Mm-hmm. Even though your pipes are completely insulated with the amount, I mean, we were 12 degrees on the North Shore last night. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up this morning, it was 12 degrees. So I can tell you that at 12 degrees, even though your pipes are fully insulated, and if you were not running your water, there's a good chance your pipes were frozen. So the best thing to do is that once you remove that frozen ice and you get your pipes running again, both hot and cold, everywhere, interior and exterior of your house, all your faucets, then you want to drip run your water tonight. And you want to run the hot water. It's a fast drip. It's not a stream of water. It's not a gusher. It's really just a fast drip. I've done that at my house last night, and I haven't had any problems. Now, my house is split where I have water on the far left side of my house and water on the far right side of my house. So my water usage is not all clustered in one spot. It's separated. So I actually ran hot water, fast drip, at both the left-hand furthest faucet and the right-hand furthest faucet to make absolutely certain that we didn't get any frozen pipes. And that approach seems to work well. When I get up in the middle of the night, I drink a lot of water during the day, and I get up probably at least once or twice a night to go to the bathroom. I'm going to flush the toilet. I'm going to go reach down to the hot side of the bathtub in that bathroom or that vanity sink hot side. And I'm going to open up that faucet full blast for the minute or so I'm in that bathroom. And even if that's not one of the faucets I chose to let do a fast trip, I'm going to run it anyway because I want to get some water running through my pipes. And like I said, I'll do that once or twice a night.
If you're getting up twice a night, you already got water running through your pipes. I couldn't resist it, Paul. Look, it was just out there. No, but that's a good point. If you got to go to the bathroom during the night, just reach over to the bathtub, run some water, hot and cold, for what, a couple of minutes?
Yeah, just a minute or two, or it's fine. Hey, can I move on to a different topic?
Please.
And this is a very different topic we're not used to here in the South, and that's the amount of snow that's sitting on our roof right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on the Scoot Show very briefly yesterday, and one of the questions was, do I need to be concerned about the weight of the snow on my roof? And the short answer was, yesterday, no, you don't, because it's light and it's powdery. But today, now that we have sunlight and we have warming temperatures, that powdery snow is going to start melting and it's going to start turning to ice. And wet snow or ice is 3.5 to 4.5 times heavier than powdered snow. So what I've been doing, even in the 15-degree weather I've been out in this morning, is I've been going around the outer perimeter of my home and removing the snow at the bottom 2 to 3 feet around the outer perimeter of my house. And also any snow that's in my gutters, I'm removing all the snow out of my gutters. Now, I have a single-story home. Let me be very, very clear here. I am not climbing on the roof. I'm standing on a ladder with a long handle reaching over to the edge of my roof and removing and dragging very carefully, not to damage my roof shingles, the snow off the edge of my roof. And I'm reaching in my gutters with gloves on, and I'm removing all the snow out of the gutter cans and out of the downspouts. Because when it starts, when that snow starts to melt, I want to have a clear path for it to go. And if you leave the snow there, if you don't remove it, what's going to happen is the snow at the very edge is going to get full of ice, full of ice, full of ice. And as the snow up the upper part of the roof starts to melt and it starts running down the slope of that pitch roof, it's going to collect all of the edge of your roof. And you're going to get an abundant amount of weight at the outer perimeter of your roof. And it's not just a weight problem. It also could be a water leak problem when that's when it starts to thaw tomorrow or the following day. So I'm being very proactive as much as I can. It's not a perfect thing. I'm just doing as much as I can where I can. And then after I remove it, I'm coming back with a leaf blower, and I'm blowing all the fine snow off the edge of my roof. And again, it's not perfect. It doesn't all come off. And I'm being very careful about that, too, because I don't want to damage my shingles with the leaf blower. So this is something I've never had to do before. I've read up on it, and this is what some of the folks do up north. You've probably seen those videos, Tommy, where they remove the snow off their roof and let it all slide down.
Right.
There's devices for that. I said, well, shucks, we had 7 inches of snow in the North Shore, in Covington at least. And that is a lot of snow. And I just want to be as proactive as I can to prevent future weight problems and also water leaks.
Two quick things, and having cleaned the gutters, when I had gutters that clogged with a leaf blower before, you want to make sure you blow in the right direction, not to damage the shingles. You want to, like, blow in the direction the water runs off, right? And secondly, when it comes to when you're talking about scraping off with the roof, you're talking about with a broom, not a shovel, right?
Not a shovel. Yeah. It's not anything that's going to damage the granulars that's on the top of the asphalt shingles.
Because the last thing you whirl and worry you want to do is cause yourself more damage. Real quick before we let you go, somebody texted in about a new first-time homeowner sprinkler system underground. Thoughts on that?
Well, my parents have an irrigation sprinkler system, and everything is in the ground, and all the heads are recessed in the ground. I wasn't worried about that portion of the pipe, but where I was worried about is where the irrigation system connects to the water meter. Mm-hmm. Their pipe and their sprinkler control head is above ground. So I covered that, wrapped it with sheets and then some additional insulation, and I put an ice chest on top of it and weighted it down. So if you protected that portion of your sprinkler system, that should be fine, because everything else in the ground should be okay. Our ground is not frozen. It has not been cold long enough or cold enough to make that happen.
Thank you, Paul. Very valuable information. I appreciate it. What's the website people can go to find out more?
LaGrangeConsulting.com.
Thank you, sir. Paul LaGrange, host of the Home Improvement Show, owner of LaGrange Consulting. We talked to Brooke Laser, WWL Louisiana meteorologist. We come back at the latest on the weather and the likelihood of of melting and so forth, and icing tonight. And interesting physics fact there from Paul that the wet snow is heavier, three to four times heavier than powder snow. I didn't realize that. I thought it was moisture, but apparently not. 9:43, Noel Norman joins us. We come back as well. 17 till 10, traffic now, WWL. All right, 9:49, Newell Norman just drove in. How's the drive?
Canal Street is an ice skating rink.
Mm.
You know, if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't have four-wheel drive, I have four-wheel drive, and you drive slow. If you're going over 5 miles an hour, you're going too fast. Serious ruts have developed there. Saw a couple of people sliding off the street, freaking out, quite frankly. One pulled over and stopped, and I went by that individual, and you can see, I mean, had a death grip on the steering wheel. If you don't know how to drive into stuff, you really shouldn't be out there at all.
And you and I were talking about this last night as Brooke Laser joins us now, WWL Louisiana forecaster. Brooke, you know, as locals, we're used to it snowing, and then we get out and we play in it, and then the next day it warms up and it melts. But people need to look at this as a different thing. I called it almost a Category 5 winter storm for us. Mm-hmm. And I know
fair
people
enough
in Milwaukee would laugh, but is that accurate in terms of aftermath and everything? Because after a severe hurricane, we don't just next day go back to business, right? And I think people
right
need to look at this that way. Thoughts?
That's a great point. Yeah, it's not so much the down trees or what you would traditionally have from an ice storm, but we still have ice on the ground. I'll tell you, walking into work this morning, I stayed in the French Quarter. I almost busted it a few times, and it's just such a helpless feeling when your feet are underneath you and you can't quite find your balance. You got to engage your core. So that's just on foot. And then think about a vehicle, of course, potentially spinning, sliding, other vehicles around you you can't control. So it's more so the unknown than anything else for me.
Was that a meteorological term, busted it? I almost busted it?
I don't know. I think
I just
came
isobars
up with that.
I heard isobars and those kind of things. I've never heard of busting it before. Let's talk
That's
about
just my personality.
There you go. Let's talk. And core. You know, you can touch your works out.
And core, yes.
Core. So let's talk about, seriously, with snow and sun and melting and freezing temperatures today and the likelihood of evaporation of whatever does melt, because if it doesn't melt, it's going to freeze tonight. That means black ice, right?
Right. So the high forecast for today is just 2 degrees above freezing, and our peak daytime heating window is usually around 3-4 o'clock, which means we just don't have a lot of time for this to all melt down. And when it does melt, a lot of times you've got inches of ice on the ground. So we are definitely going to be in a bit of a predicament for road conditions into tomorrow and potentially even Friday, Saturday. I think a lot of people are looking around and realizing, okay, this is the component of concern. It wasn't yesterday. We were not in danger, so to speak, but now it's just the implication on the back end.
You know, as you said that about the heating window when it gets the warmest, when it does melt, then that means there's not a lot of time for it to evaporate, because then the dew point goes up as it gets dark, right?
You got it. I'm always impressed by your meteorological knowledge, Tommy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're not impressed by Newell's meteorological knowledge, are you, bro?
No, not at all.
There you go. Thank you.
Well, he's got a lot of practical knowledge.
Yeah,
and
but he nailed me yesterday. He nailed me on a couple of things yesterday, so let's get him back. That's all right.
Okay. This is a competition. I gotcha.
It's all about jealousy.
Yes.
But, you know, Peyton and I were talking over the weekend attempting to forecast.
Hey, go ahead, Peyton. Brooke,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is just not something we're experts in, because we don't experience it so much. And I think that across the board should all the more make people want to just stay put if they have the option. Of course, we have to get to and from work in order to be on air. And we've had multiple employees get stuck. We've had to dig people out. It's just always a lot of potential problems to come if you put yourself in that situation and there isn't much response available. So something to think about before getting out there.
So today's Wednesday. We lose track of it because it's been a crazy week. Today's Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. We have 2 more days of this event before we come back. Would that accurate? Newell, would you go with that? You're a sheriff. You know these things. Would you say about 2 more days?
Yeah, I'm always curious what temperature it actually takes to really have an accelerated melt. You know,
Brooke?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say 40s. Once you get into the 40s, and that'll happen tomorrow, we'll definitely have some big improvements. The sunshine's also a huge help, so that's going to be beneficial today as well. You can feel the difference, of course, when you're in the shade. On the sunny side of the street, it's far more pleasant. So that is going to help a good bit, but it's just going to be a gradual process as we are only topping out in the 30s.
I'll tell you one
thing. Once we get to tomorrow, I think it'll be better.
One thing you and Newell do have in common, Newell brought me some master's stuff when he went to the master's.
Oh.
Did you know Brooke worked in Augusta, Georgia?
No, I did not know that.
She's a big master's fan. Isn't that right?
You know, I have a friend that was supposed to play the National yesterday, and that did not happen because it was dicey up there as well. So they've been dealing with all kinds of weather this year, too. It's been a whirlwind.
The National. Did you actually refer to it?
Yes.
Not Augusta. The National.
That's the inside.
Yeah, apparently so.
I don't know about that.
How is the course, Brooke? And I know this has nothing to do with anything, but you got inside knowledge. I know they were torn up by Francine, and they're kind of secretive. Do you know what the course looks like?
Yeah, it sounds like they truly ship trees in from Canada in order to replace a lot of the ones that fell, from what I've heard. And they should be up and running as normal. A few of the holes will be a little bit different this year. So I heard especially Amen Corner is going to be significantly different for play compared to its original state before Francine, but I think overall, for patrons, it will be a relatively traditional.
She really
experience.
Is an insider.
I'm telling you, the things you learn by asking the right questions. Brooke Laser, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Y'all be safe.
You too. And so, again, a two-day aftermath of this event. Yesterday it snowed. And, again, our mindset is it's over the next day. No, two more days. We'll take a break. Come back.
You know, we're masters at talking about much to do about and
oh, we kill time
anything.
Like nobody else. Back in a flash to kill more time on WWL.